Okay, so Shane, when you listen to these guests, and of course being involved in this, you know the difficulties or possible obstacles and even dangers. What is it that still drives you to want to try to break this siege in Gaza, even though perhaps it could be dangerous for you?
I think most of us who have been political activists and peace activists or human rights activists are very committed to the cause of Palestine. For us, Palestine is a defining issue globally in terms of issues of self-determination, in terms of issues of freedom. And so for us, it's something that we have by choice decided that we want to be committed to this
Why
process.
Palestine? Why Gaza? There are a lot of places in the world right now that have problems or troubled areas, let's say.
I think, but the Palestine and Gaza, Palestine in particular, is the issue on which is the widest legitimacy that exists in the world today. It is one issue on which there has been numerous international, under the international law, resolutions passed for the right of Palestine, and yet this is an issue that has not been solved for the last 62 years. It's something that actually nation states and countries should be really hanging their head on somewhere, because it's something which should be shameful that people are being persecuted and deprived of their fundamental right, except internationally, accepted before the international law for so many years, and that the states do not have power to give that right to the Palestinian people. I think what is happening is that the people are now taking these issues on their hand. Peoples have less power, but I think the unity of the people globally is something that I think the states are not yet fully realizing what is the strength and power of that.
Now, you mentioned international resolutions concerning Palestine. What is it? What exactly is the obstacle, or what stops these international resolutions from being implemented?
I think clearly it is a Zionist framework. It's a framework of Israeli-U.S. axis, which has actually vetoed almost every effort of trying to find a peaceful resolution of Palestine.
Okay, and where do you see it going from here? What do you think is the answer?
I think we are just beginning, as Ken said. I think we are just beginning. But I think what is the strength in this process that after a lot of process, there is some kind of a coordination happening and some kind of convergence of the people's movement from different continents. And we are really hopeful that this movement will become very powerful.
Okay, and back to London. Let me go back to Laura. Laura, how do you see it? How far do you think this movement have come, and where do you see it going from here? What is the answer in order to try to break the siege on Gaza?
Well, I think we have to attack the siege from many, many different directions. I see the strength of the solidarity movement being in its diversity. So many different nationalities involved, so many different faiths involved. As the gentleman pointed out before, women are on the convoy, and there's always been women on the convoys. I think we have to go by land, by sea. We have to change tactics. Since we went on the first convoy in March 09, in fact, Egypt has changed a lot of the rules for accessing Rafah. You have to now go and hire a ship, and you have to fly your people in to Al Arish. They've made it much more complicated. So we always have to be planning and looking at new ways. Obviously, raising awareness. I think people, when they go to Gaza, that's not the end of the story to say that you reached there. When you go back home, then you really have a duty to talk to people and spread the word. Let them see the reality, because they're not seeing it on their TV screens necessarily, or reading it in the media, especially here in the West. So that's all part of the movement. And I think there's many, many, many different organizations involved at different levels, and we just keep chipping away.
Now, Ken, why is it that we're saying what Laura just mentioned? She mentioned people from all over, and of course, Ashin and yourself also mentioned that, of different nationalities. Why are we seeing more from the people movements, than movements, official movements from countries? Do you think it will reach the point that the people movements will be able to put enough pressure on their individual governments to get that leverage from governmental levels?
Yes, well, I believe the actual power, the real power, does indeed reside with the people. And the reason why we have continued to live in such an unjust world with war after war, conflict after conflict, is because we've been waiting for someone else to solve the problems that only we can solve. Governments, virtually all of them, although some more than others, have been so corrupt that we've endured a 20th century that was the bloodiest of all. We've had the United States carrying this mantle of freedom and democracy while launching wars left, right, and center, killing untold millions over and over, all the while invading countries based on things like weapons of mass destruction. We as people have allowed governments and the United Nations, which has been a disgrace thus far and failed miserably in its charge to make sure that conflicts are resolved nonviolently. We've been waiting for others to do what only we can do. And when we as people realize our full potential, we're going to create a better world. And to be honest with you, that is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I am a father. And I believe the greatest duty that we have is to hand over this world in a better state to our children than we inherited it ourselves. And if we don't do that, we have failed. So this is very, very serious. If we fail in our duty, this generation, we could have a third world war. We could destroy this entire planet. The stakes could not be higher. It's time for us to stop waiting for others and to do what we as people of conscience are capable of doing.
Okay, now Sheen, I want to look at as far as, do you think that if you are successful, that this is the beginning of other convoys, or tell me your plans in general?
I think we do want to bring when the people who are going to go to Gaza come back to different countries, and each of them would be really an activist for the Palestinian cause. I think in Asia there would be a large number of activities that we are planning to build awareness and build an organization. There are more than 150 organizations from Asia which is a part of this coalition. And we are in the beginning stage of building up an organizational structure to see that it becomes all convergent and that it could unite in a particular cause.
And what are the humanitarian you are taking? Are some supplies are being sent in?
Absolutely. We are taking medical supplies, we're taking surgical equipment, and we're going to take ambulance.
Okay. Well, all the best.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank all my guests for this program, a look at the first Asian convoy going to Gaza. First of all, right here in the studio with me, coordinating the Asia-Gaza Solidarity Convoy, Mr. Ashim Roy. From Gaza itself, human rights activist Ken O'Keefe, and from London, member of Viva Palestinian Activists, Laura Stewart. Thanking you all for being with me. And as always, viewers, I'd like to thank you for another close-up look at one of today's top stories. Well, I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out from Tehran. Thank you, and goodbye.